Stephen and for Oaks Ministries. I don't know if everybody knows or not, but their offices are actually in our building, so we get to see Stephen and that crew pretty much daily, just passing by each other, but that doesn't mean we always know what's going on with each other's thing, so it's always a good time to hear an update from you guys. We're thankful for you, thankful for your family and all that you do. So we're going to continue to pray for them, continue to partner with them. Maybe you can check them out, see how you can get involved even further. That would be fantastic. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to jump in this morning to this morning's message. Let's pray together. Our Father, I thank you for, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for your great love for us that binds us together, that holds us together, that makes us one, that even brings us together to partner together, to make Jesus known. I pray, Lord, this morning that that's what's happening here, and all that we do is that Jesus is being made known. I mean, that we're doing that on purpose. We want to make Jesus known for who he really is, but I'm asking, God, that you make yourself known to us, that our hearts would be opened by your spirit this morning so that we would see you afresh and anew, get to know you more truly for who you are, and that you would transform us into your likeness and just continue that work. I pray that you would have each one of us hear what you have for us, say what you want said over these next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. So I know that this is on repeat around here a lot. I say it a lot, but at the risk of sounding like a broken record, I'm just going to go ahead and say it again. And that is that we know that Jesus has often been misrepresented. And by that I mean, truly, like, if we are honest, we know that, like, this church has misrepresented Jesus. And we know that because I, at times, have misrepresented Jesus, and you, at times, have misrepresented Jesus. And so we, as a church, have often misrepresented Jesus. And so what we are striving to do together around here at Redemption Church is we are striving together to make the real Jesus known, to both know him and make him known by being honest about our failures, loving the way that he loves, serving the city for the good of all, and inviting everybody into the family of God. Like, we want that to be what's true of us at Redemption Church, like, through and through, because we believe that the more that that is actually true of us, the more we will represent and we will reflect Jesus rightly, making him known to others and to the world around us. Now, in this last season, over the spring, we walked through Lent together as a church. We walked through Holy Week together, like, with a purpose. We followed the last days of Jesus' life in the Gospel of John throughout the spring on Sundays. We gathered in our MCs to kind of further, like, parse through what we had read and what we were learning, learning to see who Jesus revealed himself to be in this gospel. Ultimately, that he's the Christ, that he's the Son of God. But in that, we found him to be, like, full of compassion and kindness and mercy, right? Powerful and bold, but humble and generous and much more. We also fasted together. We read scripture. We spent time in prayer, like, individually during this season, just spending time to be with Jesus. That was kind of the focus of our spring, being with Jesus. And in all this, our hope was just that, to spend time learning to be with Jesus, learning to abide in him for a season together, realizing that we can never, ever make the real Jesus known, like we say, if we don't know him and we aren't spending time with him. And now the seasons are changing, right? Summer is coming really quickly. The weather is going to get hot and humid. I think a lot of us were already sweating this morning. School is about to get out soon. Vacations will be taken, and there's just, like, a lot of rhythms in our individual lives that change in the next season, right? And so then our rhythms of togetherness also will change. And so last week we finished the Gospel of John, and next week, if you're not aware, next week is the Augusta Handmade Fair here at Redemption Church, and it's also our Global Missions Emphasis Week, and we're going to hear from Project Refresh next week. And then, like, in a couple weeks, we're going to start a new series together. We're going to call it Summer in the Psalms. We've already kind of started getting ready for that, trying to roll it out. You can see we changed out all the posters. There's scripture just kind of all around us in this place. That'll be there all summer, which I really like. That's pretty neat. And in this next season, we just want to continue to strive side by side together to know and to make known the real Jesus this summer. And we want to continue practicing being with Jesus. We're not going to forsake that. But it's also a time to transition and learn some practices of becoming more like Jesus. And it all works together. Like if we look back at John 15:5, Jesus said this to his disciples. You're familiar with it. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And here clearly we see that abiding, that the abiding that Jesus talked about in John 15 had something to do with like being with him, right? But it also meant that in our being with him, we would become more like him. It's in our abiding with him that we're going to bear this fruit, he said. It's in our being with him and becoming like him that we're going to end up producing the things of Jesus. It's in our being with him and becoming like him that we're going to begin to make the real Jesus known in this world. And so we want to spend this next season becoming more like Jesus, practicing becoming more like Jesus. Paul talks about becoming more like Jesus with the language of putting off the old self and putting on the new self in Colossians 3:9-10. And this is kind of where I want us just to spend a few minutes together this morning. He says, you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And what Paul has to say here really can help us to get a picture of what it might look like to become more like Jesus. What it looks like to bear the fruit of abiding in Jesus. By looking at this passage closer, I hope you'll see what we're really kind of going after this summer, right? So we're going to read Colossians 3. We're going to read actually verses 1 through 14. We're going to focus in on 9 through 14, but I think it's helpful just to have that little bit of context around it. So Colossians 3, chapter 1 through 14, you can follow along with me. It'll be on the screen also, I believe. And Paul says this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Excuse me. With the seasons changing, my allergies are killing me. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I'm going to have a minor break. Fix it. Sorry. Whew. There are two things that I want to draw our attention to as we begin to look in these verses. First, I want us to see that when Paul describes these attributes that we're to put on, right? The compassionate heart, the kindness, the humility, those things. When he describes these attributes that we're to put on, he's describing what Jesus is like, right? Now, that may seem obvious enough, but I'm saying it because I think it's easy, like, to look at a list of things that we're supposed to put on, and we're supposed to, like, put on compassionate hearts, put on kindness, humility, meekness, and so on, and then just try to, like, go and act in those ways on our own. But that's not what Paul is saying to do. He's saying to set your minds on things above and on Christ, who is your life. And so, thinking of each of those things, mercy, kindness, humility, etc. Man. And so as we like think of each one of these attributes, we're actually not thinking about how we just do those things. We're actually meant to be focused in on Christ and seeing that this is actually what he is like. These are his attributes. Which leads us to the second thing. Second thing I want us to see is what Paul says in verse 9 and 10. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Like he says earlier in the passage, to set our minds on things above and to put to death earthly ways. And he says here that this new self is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. And what Paul is saying here is, in our being saved, we have actually been given a new identity. We have been given a new way of living. Actually, it's like a whole new way of thinking. We've been given a whole new way of seeing. We've been given a whole new knowledge. And that new way of thinking, that new way of seeing, that new knowledge that we have is the way Jesus thinks, and it's the way that Jesus sees, and it's the way that Jesus knows. This is what he's like, and it's been given to us. And so as we put on this new self, really by like setting our minds on him and abiding in him and being with him, our new way of thinking and seeing and knowing will actually like start to transform and change everything about us to look more and more like Christ. That's the thing that I want us to see. We're going to jump into these attributes in just a moment, but what I want us to know above all else is, like Christians, what Christ is like is what you and I are also becoming like. What Christ is like is what you and I also are becoming like. It's an incredible truth. It's an incredible thing to believe. So I'm going to go through a few of these attributes, and I just want us to answer these two questions. What is Jesus like, and how do we put this on? How do we become more like him? We're going to start with verse 12. Paul says to put on compassionate hearts. If we are to put on the new self, which is ours in Christ, what do we see that is true of Jesus? Christ has a compassionate heart. He has a heart of compassion. To define that a little bit better, we're going to make it. Let's define compassion a little bit better. A compassionate or a merciful heart is a heart that is like moved deeply, like at a gut level for others in such a way that action is required, right? Listen to how this is true of Jesus. This is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. It says, "But God, being rich in mercy," or compassion, "because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ." The heart of God was so deeply moved towards us with compassion and mercy that action was required. Thanks. Yes, all of those things would be great. I appreciate that. What do we got here? Some sort of candy? Yeah, I get like a little treat. Sorry. Yeah, the heart of God was so deeply moved for us. This is what we see in Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. The heart of God is so deeply moved towards us with compassion and mercy that action was required. Like his heart felt so much mercy and compassion, action is required even at the expense of his own suffering and his own death. And so Christ emptied himself, as Philippians 2 says. And that's a kindness. That's kindness, which Paul says right after this, right? Kindness is closely related to compassion in that kindness tends to like ease the burden of another. It's sort of the action that flows from compassion and from a merciful heart. It is the act of pouring yourself out for another. So as we look to see what Jesus is like, we see that he is full of compassion and he's full of kindness. The way he thinks, the way that he sees things and filters, it all filters through a heart that is full of compassion, is ready to act in kindness toward those who are in need or who are in trouble, even when the need or the trouble is actually self-inflicted. Now, Paul says that you and I, who are in Christ, are being renewed in knowledge after the image of our Creator. We are becoming like him. His heart of compassion and kindness is actually ours also to put on. And so the question is, like, does that ring true in your life? Do you get the sense that you are operating more and more from a heart full of compassion and kindness? Maybe, maybe not. How do you put this on? How do you just start seeing and thinking and acting the way that Jesus does? How do we actually become more like him? Well, I think, like I said already, it's by allowing ourselves to go back to Jesus over and over and over again. It's in our like being with him and continuing to be met by his compassion and his kindness towards us. It's sort of like how hot water becomes tea as a tea bag steeps in it, right? The longer we let the way Jesus is and the way he has acted and does act toward us like soak in, the more we become like him and less like our old selves. And soon we find that in Jesus we are freed to be deeply moved for others, like at that gut level. We are freed to be emptied out in order to spread the life-giving gift of the gospel to others. So what is Jesus like? He's full of compassion and mercy and kindness. And how do we put that on? How do we become like him? By being with him. By paying attention to what he's like and what he does and how he has acted, is acting, and will always act towards us. So we begin to see the way he sees and love the way he loves, and we begin to live from the same heart that he has and has put in us. Paul goes on to say to put on also humility. If we want to see how this is a description of what Jesus is like, we could just go hang out over in Philippians 2, verse 8. It says, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus, who is God, came down in human form. He humbled himself just in that act, but he humbled himself even further as he gave his life for us. Like, Jesus looked not only to his own interests, but to that of others. This is the way that he sees. This is the way that Jesus thinks. And actually, like in the same passage in Philippians, Paul says that this mindset, Jesus' mindset, is also yours. Philippians 2, 4 through 5. "Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." I love that language. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It's essentially the same thing Paul says in Colossians. Put on like this kind of humility because it's yours in Christ. We are becoming like him. We are being transformed into Christ's likeness. But how do we put on the humility which is ours in Christ? Again, we go back to Jesus and we stay with him and we let who he is permeate us. Like, you remember the scene in the Last Supper? We've visited that a lot over the last couple months. When Jesus kneels down to wash his disciples' feet, we talked about it a couple months ago. Foot washing in the first century was a very lowly job. It was kept for the lowliest of low people in society. And the places that people walked, they were muddied, they were littered with animal droppings and all kinds of filth, and they're wearing nothing more than sandals, and so their feet would just be like caked in all this dirt and grime from the road. And so it was a dirty, disgusting job. But Jesus, like, humbly laid aside his outer garment, and then he scrubbed the feet of his disciples. And it makes Since I think that Peter, as a disciple of Jesus, he protested the idea of his teacher washing his feet. But Jesus insisted, saying, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And so Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And then in John 13:1, it says, and he loved them to the end. That is, by laying down his life to not only like wash their feet, but to cleanse their hearts from sin. You know, it's a humbling thing to be served by one you know is greater. It's a humbling thing to be cared for so deeply. And what Jesus did for them, he's also done for us. He has done it for you and for me. And this is how we like put on the humility of Jesus. It's by being personally humbled by his deep humility towards us. If we let him wash us, we too will experience the true freedom of laying aside our own pride to humbly serve the good of all. Paul continues in Colossians 3:12. He says to put on meekness. Meekness, I think, is often misunderstood as like being maybe kind of puny or weak or mild, but it isn't just that, right? Meekness is submissive. It's long-suffering. It's gentle, but it's not puny. It's not weak. Christ was meek in his submissiveness to the Father, but he was by no means weak. Like, who has the strength to submit to, like, suffering for the sake of the whole world through praying bloody prayers in the garden and then dying a bloody death on the cross and into the tomb? Jesus went meekly. He went submissively to the Father. He went gently, but he went boldly. And I don't think of Jesus who either went like weak and cowardly or like raging and resistant to death would have had the impact that the real Jesus has had on the world. He wasn't taken, he went. So what does it look like for us to put on meekness? I think it simply means that we have come to know and we understand the gift that we've been given in him, that we have life eternal in Jesus. Life eternal in Jesus. That means that nothing can truly hurt us. So there's no situation where we can't walk submissively to the Father. It says, Jesus says to Martha when he went to raise Lazarus from the dead in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Death has lost its sting by the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we have the freedom to increasingly submit all of life to the empowering presence and lordship of Jesus Christ. And we'll find that our submission to him and our gentleness towards others will also exhibit the boldness of Jesus who's with us. He makes us brave enough to face darkness and death and even meekly walk into suffering as we follow him and we trust him. After meekness, Paul adds patience. And with patience, Paul expands it, calling us to bear with one another and forgiving one another. Like, Christ is ever patient with us. Not only did he come while we were dead in our trespasses to forgive us, he's walking with us through the Holy Spirit as we learn to live like this new way of life. And I think of Peter here who like doubted and he sank in the waters, who cut off that guy's ear when they came to arrest Jesus, who denied Christ three times. But also, as we just saw last week, Christ ate breakfast with Peter on the beach after his resurrection, and he called Peter an apostle. For me, that's a picture of friendship. It's a friend who is patient, meaning like they bear with you. It's a friend who forgives you, who continues with you. What a friend we have in Jesus. So as we see what Jesus is like and we seek to put on Christ-likeness ourselves, we must realize Christ's friendship and his brotherhood and find that we also have been given his ability to live like that with one another, right? We should seek to bear with one another because we've been given the gift of Christ bearing with us. We are to forgive because we have been given the gift of being forgiven. It's an overflow out of us of something we've already been given. We ought to continue with one another because Christ continues with us. And the more we are with him, the more we will become more like him. Lastly, I know there's a lot of attributes. It's all right. 14 and 15 says this, and above all else, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Back at the beginning of Paul's letter to the Colossians, in chapter 1, verse 17, he says this. He says that Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Like, that's this glutinous, binding language. It's the same kind of language we just read of love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Jesus holds all things together. Listen to this, Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He's the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He upholds the universe. He keeps it all together. You remember this familiar passage, it's John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. See, the love that Paul talks about in Colossians 3:14, the love that binds everything together in perfect harmony, is the love of Jesus, who came to save the world and uphold the world and bind the world back to himself with his life, with his love. His love is so real, it's so pure and so powerful and strong that it binds everything together in perfect harmony. It binds you back to God. It binds you to his creation. It binds us together in Christ. So you who are followers of Jesus, you're being changed to be like him. We're being like changed together to be like him. Scripture tells us that his banner over us is love. He has loved us like this binding, unbreakable love. And in love he came, and in love he is with us, and in love he is coming again. And to put on that, being loved by him in such a way, to put that on as our new identity, to put that on as your new identity, and to spend time in that reality by being with him and being reminded of whose you really are, is to be changed into one who loves like he does. Here's what I want us to take away from all this morning. Here's what I want you to know as we begin like this new series and this new focus for the summer season. First, if you're not a follower of Jesus, just please hear, Jesus is full of compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and love and forgiveness towards you. It's true. It's who he is. He came and he died and he rose again for you. And he wants you to be with him, and you can be with him. You can follow him today, and you can know your true identity as a beloved child of God. This is who you were made to be. This is what he came for. And if you have turned to Jesus, if you are a Christian, if he is your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that you are his, right? That he is with you, and you are being renewed after the image of your Creator. We all are in Christ. And what Christ is like is what you and I are also becoming like. I think that gives us confidence. That thought should give us confidence. Like, you aren't just striving to be compassionate and kind and meek and patient and loving because the Bible says you should and it's part of what we're supposed to do. It isn't some pipe dream that maybe you'll become that in eternity. His compassionate heart is yours to put on, right? His mindset of humility is yours. His patience is yours, and all of who he is. It is so good, and it is so refreshing and life-giving to our souls to become more and more like him. Because this is who we were created to be, right? We are created to be image bearers of God. That's making the real Jesus known as we exhibit his likeness, like through our whole way of living through all that we do. And so it's life for us, it's joy for us, it's satisfying for us to become these things as we become more and more like him. And you are becoming like him. He's doing this work in you. What Christ is like is what you and I are becoming like. And so in this next season, we're just engaging this truth with focus and with intention. And this is what you're invited to join us in as we seek to use these coming months with intentionality towards becoming more like Jesus. We're going to be looking at several psalms through the summer. Like I said, we're going to do a summer in psalms. Our missional communities are going to utilize the psalms. We hope to prompt us all individually to like memorize and to even meditate on scripture from the psalms throughout this season. And what I think is kind of great about this series is that like I said at the beginning, we know summer rhythms are different, and we're all kind of in and out, and we go to the beach, and we travel, and we do all that kind of stuff, and we're a little bit scattered at times. And like I said earlier, our individual rhythms tend to change in the summer, and so our together rhythms look a little bit different also. But the Psalms are like so accessible. I think they're perfectly fit for this season together because each Psalm really stands on its own. So it should be really easy to track together over the summer. And what we're going to see is that the Psalms are just filled with these prayers to like help us to spend these moments with God and see what he's really like, who he really is. And these Psalms, like these prayers, they have a way of like, I think, helping our hearts soak him in like a sponge, helping us become more like Jesus, helping us to put on his likeness. They help us to remember his compassion towards us, right? You're going to hear the language of the Psalms, and it'll remember how he has been compassionate towards us, and then to see the world with his compassion so we can act in the kindness that he acts with. The Psalms will help us to remember how he has humbly come out for our salvation, and they're going to help humble our hearts towards serving others. They can help us remember his patience and his forgiveness and his great love, and then to even take his heart on as our own as we pray these prayers and meditate on them and kind of ingest them. They help us to see ourselves through his eyes and see the world through his eyes so that we love the way that he loves. So as we kind of like step into this next season, then I'm just asking you now, next week is Global Missions Emphasis Week. We're going to get to the Psalms in a couple weeks, but I just want us to go ahead and be preparing our hearts and our mind to pursue Jesus together by praying and meditating on, memorizing some scripture from the Psalms with us. These are all the Psalms we will do over the summer. We'll have some memory verses from them, not the whole Psalm. You don't have to memorize the book of Psalms this summer. We're talking about snippets, right? It's not that challenging. Maybe for some of us it will be. Maybe for me. I'm just inviting you in to pursue Jesus together and doing these things with us. And then like memorizing and meditating on the Psalms with us. We're going to be perfected in eternity, but we've been freed from the deadly ways of this world already, right? We've been given a renewed mind in Christ already, as we see time and time again in Scripture, so that we can live a renewed life in Christ presently, together. I think we often pray to change things, and that's a good thing. I think we want to learn also to pray these Psalms together and like let the reality of who God is and what he's done in Christ and who that makes us sort of like steep within ourselves. And I think these are the kinds of prayers that change us and transform us and make us more like him and make us the kind of people who change things by the power of the Spirit, because we begin to make the real Jesus known as his likeness is seen in our lives. I'm going to invite you to a time of response, as we do each week. And the band is going to come, and they're going to lead us in a few moments of worship through singing. It's also a time where you can sit and you can pray, you can reflect, you can even consider again what Jesus is like and who he is and what he's done, how he's shown his great compassion and mercy and kindness and humility and meekness and love and patience and forgiveness towards you. Begin to like just let that even maybe in this next few moments just kind of seep in and take that in. And then you're putting on that identity. That happened for me. That happened for us. This is who I am. This is who I'm becoming. Surely what he's already given me. We're going to come and we're going to take communion, and it's a time where we are again remembering the same thing. We're remembering that Jesus died and he gave his body and his blood for us. You can come and you can take the bread, you can dip it in the wine or the juice. He gave himself for us, and he has given us himself, and he died and he rose again because he is our Lord and our Savior, and he has given us a new identity and a new self. And so we come and we are remembering that together, and then we're proclaiming it to one another as we do weekly, right? So that we can put that on again, put it on more, take that identity on this morning. And so I invite you to come and to take, to spend a few moments in prayer and to let's worship our God together. Let me pray for us.